Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 309 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. All right, well, we're going to talk some Ankeny baseball today. To my left is the longtime head coach of the Hawks. He is Joe Balbans. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm great, Dan. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Hey, you bet. And to my right is a senior shortstop and one of the leaders of the team. He is currently batting .342 with two triples, three doubles, and seven RBIs. He is signed to play next year for Blackhawk Community College in Moline, Illinois. He is Kinnick Voss. Kinnick, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Yes, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming up the last minute here. Yep. Well, I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Coach, you guys have obviously had a tough season. You're currently sitting at 6-17, including a 3-10 record in the CIML Conference. But four of the teams from the league are ranked in the top 10, and two others, Valley and Southeast Polk, are just outside the top 10. So obviously the strength of your conference certainly has a lot to do with your record, doesn't it?
The CIML is a league where if you don't play well, you're not going to win very many games. And you can play well, and we have played well at times and still not won games. The talent is tremendously deep across the league. Even you look at an Urbandale that's similar record to us, I think they might have a win or two more. Mm-hmm. They're tough, and if you go out and we dropped one to them earlier in the year at our place, didn't take care of the baseball, didn't swing it well enough to win, and that's life in the CIML, and we talk about that as a group with our guys. And we have to put forth your best effort. We have to be fundamentally sound every night. We have to have a plan to play it, and most importantly, we have to compete on the mound and work ahead in counts and limit free base runners and try to get back in the dugout as quickly as possible to see what damage we can do at the plate.
And Kenny, you guys will have a chance to play the role of a spoiler in the second half of the season. The top five teams in the conference are separated by just one game, you know, so every game could be a factor in the conference race. Are you surprised at all by what a logjam there is at the top of the conference?
I wouldn't say so necessarily. I mean, of course, there's going to be a lot of great teams. I think this year there's a lot of really good arms, elite arms, I would say. I think this is probably overall throughout the conference the most spread of elite arms I've seen in the 3 years I've been playing. And so teams are going to go out and compete, and I think there's going to be a team or two that'll separate themselves in these next couple weeks. But no, it does not surprise me.
Coach, I know you came into the season with some pretty high expectations for your team, and that was part of the reason that you put together a tough schedule that began with a doubleheader on May 22nd against Pleasant Valley, which is currently ranked number one. You guys did get off to an 0-7 start that also included losses to Iowa City High, Cedar Rapids Kennedy, Johnston, Waukee, and all those teams, you know, are currently ranked right now as well. You know, if you could have a do-over, would you maybe lighten up the schedule a little bit in retrospect?
That's something I've thought a lot about as the season's progressed. I go back and forth because I do think that our guys need to see that. And the schedule that I played, that I told them yesterday before we got rained out at Urbandale, there isn't a thing you haven't seen. You should be prepared, and the goal is to play your best baseball at the end of June, early July. We've been dinged up. We haven't been healthy. At the beginning of the season, we were kind of struggling to throw strikes, a lot of free passes, a lot of HBPs. And you combine that to maybe a slow offensive start and trying to figure things out defensively, I think that's not a great combination for the start of the season. So, yeah, I could have worked them in a little more softly, maybe something I look at into the future for certain. But I'm proud of the way our guys have competed all year. We've had some things not go our way. But, Dan, they're 15 minutes early to everything I asked them to be at. I don't pick up much around the complex or the dugout. They are tremendously respectful, hardworking young men who take the challenges that we've put before them every day with heart, passion, and pride to wear that A on the top of their ball cap.
Well, Kenny, you guys finally got a couple of wins against Bonrat Farrar on May 30th, and then on June 2nd, you followed with a 2-1 win over Ankeny Centennial in the first of your three meetings against the Jaguars. You know, that was just a really well-played game, and you drove in both of your team's runs, including a walk-off hit in the bottom of the seventh inning. Now, I don't remember, have you ever had a walk-off hit in a high school game before that one?
I had one against Southeast Polk my sophomore year. I think that's my only other one.
All right, well, that was pretty exciting. And, Coach, you guys got a great pitching performance from Willa Davies that night. He didn't get the win, but he allowed just one run on four hits over the first 6 2/3 innings with six strikeouts, and he certainly put you guys in a position to win. Unfortunately, he suffered an injury during a game against Waukee Northwest a week later, and although he returned to the lineup last week, you know, he has yet to get back on the mound. So how is he doing? Do you think he's close to getting back to pitching again?
Yeah, I think we're pretty close. He was going to give it a go last night, and the weather didn't cooperate. He's been, says he's feeling better. I've been doing a nice job at second base. We kind of shuffled the infield around to get him back out there. And he doesn't have a typical second baseman frame, but he is competitive and he gets after it. Him and Kinnick seem to work fairly well up the middle together. So, again, with him being down and Erlmeyer being down and mixing in some young kids there, we've been trying to figure it out on the job. And this might not be the league to try and do that in, but proud of their attitudes and their efforts.
Well, you mentioned Erlmeyer. How's his health? Is he close to coming back?
Earl's still nursing a hamstring injury that he suffered earlier in the year. I think he was hoping to be back by now. We're just not quite there yet. We're taking it week by week, and he's done a great job of communicating with me and letting him know what his PT people say. And again, I can tell he's just still a little uncomfortable. And then you also have to get over that mental hurdle, right, of being able to trust it. And his game is to hit line drives and tear up the base paths when he's out there, and that can and handle things in the outfield for us as a senior leader, and that can be tough to do with a bad hamstring when speed is one of your best tools as a ball player.
Oh, for sure. Well, Kinnick, if that win over Centennial wasn't the highlight of your season, then it was probably the one three days later at Southeast Polk. After you guys dropped an 8-0 decision in the first game of a doubleheader, you guys fell behind in the second game 8-6, and you appeared to be on the verge of getting swept. But then you guys rallied for six runs in the seventh to post a 12-8 victory, and you played a key role in the win. You went 3-5 with a triple. You had an RBI, two runs scored. You know, did you think winning that game, you know, in that fashion is maybe going to be a turning point for the team?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously we got the start that we wanted, but getting a win like that just kind of boosts the team up. But I mean, if you go into a practice today or, you know, next week or something, you would not see a ball club at 6-17. You'd think this ball club's doing just fine. Lots of energy. You guys are out there wanting to get better, excited to be there. And, you know, could that have been a turning point? I think yes. I thought it might have been. But then once again, you have a couple things go wrong, a couple injuries, and then it's tough to recover. But I think we'll get the ball rolling. I mean, a couple more wins like that, and then you do get it rolling. Baseball's giving momentum, and I think if we can string a couple of those together opposed to just one, we'll be in a lot better spot.
Well, Coach, you guys have shown at times you can go toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the state. On June 14th, you guys traveled over to Council Bluffs very early in the morning to play a pair of games. You rolled to an 11-1 victory over Council Bluffs Lincoln, and then you guys battled number four Sioux City East down to the wire before dropping a 7-4 decision. And I know you were really encouraged by your team's performance that day, weren't you?
I was. It's not easy to get on the bus at 4:45 and drive over to Council Bluffs, hop off the bus, and play ball. And we started a freshman that day in Norman Haw, who gave us a complete game in 59 pitches, did a tremendous job of working ahead in the count. With a senior catcher back there in Drew Newsom that handled him well, we bounced Brady out to third base that game, Brady Carter. And they played well. And after that game, I huddled them up. I'm like, guys, there's life outside the CIML. I go, you can't get down on yourselves. You have to just keep putting in the work day in, day out. Great attitude, tremendous effort. We're going to get this right eventually. We just need to get more consistent with it. And I think you saw the response in game two there. That Sioux City East lineup is good. Those guys have been playing varsity baseball, some of them since they were eighth graders for Sioux City East. They are talented. They are big. They are strong. They look like a high-end CIML team. We saw a pretty talented lefty from him. He was, you know, not quite as tall as the young man, the Gosselin kid from Valley, that pitched tremendously well against us at their place. But he's a high three-quarter arm slot guy, probably 6'3", and our guys battled. We jumped on him right away, got out to a 3-0 lead. They came back, got the lead 4-3. We answered, got it 4-4, and we ended up losing on a bomb in the sixth that went to South Dakota. Mm-hmm. It was a well-struck baseball. You can't really get down when your guys are going out and battling against, you know, top five teams in the state. Dang near every night. So you just gotta take it day by day, inning by inning, out by out is what I tell them. Just keep working. Just keep working and good things will happen. The game knows. We say that a lot. When you do things the right way around the ballpark, the game will eventually reward you.
Well, unfortunately, because of all the rainy weather that we've had, you guys have only played 2 games in the last 9 days, and one of them was a rain-shortened 2-0 loss at Valley on June 16th. You dropped a 5-2 decision at number 7 Waukee on Thursday, and then you guys were rained out both on Friday and on Monday. Kinnick, is it kind of hard to stay sharp, you know, when you've had so many games postponed? Because you probably can't practice much either in the rain, can you?
No. Luckily, we're getting some warm-ups in, so I guess that's good. I don't know. You do so much preparation to get into the season. You don't even really think about that stuff, but, you know, I think we're doing what we can. We're still getting a lot of swings in. Even on games where we're getting rained out, we're coming in the morning. I think we're staying pretty sharp, but it does get difficult, especially defensive-wise when you're, you know, used to taking 100 ground balls, 200 ground balls in a 3-day span. And now, like you said, we've probably seen 25 ground balls in the last however many days with in and outs and live reps. So that can be a little bit difficult, but right.
All right, listen to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, we're visiting with Ankeny baseball coach Joe Balvans and senior shortstop Kinnick Voss. You guys are supposed to be off today, but Coach, you were telling me off air that you guys might be able to make up the game with Urbandale tonight. Is that right?
That is the plan, as long as the weather holds. Our field is currently playable. Urbandale needs to finish up a game with Centennial this evening, and I believe the agreement. I see I just missed a phone call from Mr. Baker. But I believe the agreement is that the umpires and that are going to manage that game are after that one's completed will come down to our place and we will play just the varsity game that we were supposed to play last night at our place. If our field isn't playable, we may move it to Urbandale again. I'm going to need to talk with Mr. Baker after that. But we're to the point now where there's not a whole lot of places to put these games with this weather last week and this week, and we were wet the first week as well of the regular season. So it gets tough here. You're looking at dates like July 1, July 4th, and then you're getting deep into Tuesday and Wednesday week of Substate, and no one really wants to do that. So we can't control the weather. I tell that to our guys all the time. We have to worry and stress about things that we can control, and one thing that is out of our control is what Mother Nature is going to do and how the field's going to play. So, again, I appreciate their flexibility and their resiliency managing these conditions, but we're not the only team that's dealing with this. Everybody's got to deal with it. We're going to have to figure it out. We'll make things interesting here for that conference race at the end on how that shakes out, like you mentioned, with the logjam at the top of the standings currently.
When you guys are scheduled to go to Centennial for the doubleheader tomorrow night, I haven't talked to Mark lately, but their field apparently is okay if they're going to be able to play tonight if it doesn't rain anymore. Is that right?
That's a good question. We were actually, because varsity schedules got shuffled last evening with the rain that came through, Waukee Northwest and Waukee kept their JV out there. They were going to play their JVs against each other. We were scheduled to play Northwest. And Centennial and us were going to play a JV doubleheader this morning. It was raining about the time they needed to make that call, so that didn't get canceled. My field on the south side was fine. I haven't seen Coach Hines' field, but if my field's probably going to be playable by 5, 6, 7 o'clock, I would think that his should be okay for this evening as well and tomorrow. We just need to avoid, like, we can handle a half an inch of rain a day. When you get over an inch or an inch and a half, 2 inches, that's when there's just not a whole lot you can do.
When you mentioned how hard it would be to replace all these games if we keep having more postponements, and obviously with the logjam at the top of the conference, you know, those teams are going to have to play their games to determine the winner. I guess at some point, though, it kind of becomes irrelevant, doesn't it?
It does, and again, I don't know how many people remember who, especially in that baseball league, with as many good teams as there are and high-end players and good JUCO and D1 guys that come out of that league year in, year out. I don't know if winning the CIML Conference Championship is all that big of a deal if you were to ask the head coaches in the league. We are dialed in on preparing our guys to compete in the postseason. Mm-hmm. You know, winner-take-all situation. Can you win 3 games in a span of 5 days to give yourself a kid's a shot to play for a state championship?
Well, Kenny, we talked about your walk-off hit against a Centennial earlier this month. You know, I'm sure you'd love to get the games in tomorrow because that will be your final Jaghawk showdown unless the two teams happen to meet in the postseason. Now, you've competed against Centennial in multiple sports throughout your high school career. You know, do you have some other favorite memories of competing against the Jaguar?
Yeah, I think that brings me back to the state semifinals my junior year. Got a pick off in that game, the Dome, and that's probably one of my favorite high school sports moments. And I'm lucky to have probably two of my favorite high school sports moments of my career be delivered against my rival. You know, that's always special, and you get the whole town there, big crowds. It's always exciting.
Sure. Well, Coach, after the Centennial doubleheader, you guys are supposed to host a single game versus Southeast Polk on Thursday, and then you'll play 2 games in the Prongy Classic on Saturday, including 1 against No. 2 Cedar Rapids Prairie. And I don't know what your pitching plans are for the next few days, but has it been tough to get work for all the guys and to keep them sharp with all the rainouts?
That is to keep guys on a 5-day rotation when you're dodging raindrops about every other day. It makes it hard. We've kind of shuffled the pitching plan here. If we play tonight, we're going to get through tonight and Wednesday and reevaluate where we need to be for Thursday and Saturday at the moment. When you don't know what the weather's going to do or how many relief pitchers you're going to have to use in 4 games in 3 days, you can pretty much, sometimes you got to plan about a day and a half, 2 days ahead, and then you just look at it and see where you are. We have plenty of guys that can throw the ball over the plate. You just kind of have to take a look at the schedule and pick your spots right now. If we get tonight in, Wednesday in, and then get that game in with Southeast Polk Saturday, there may be some young kids out there with a little time, so we can still. The hard part about playing on Saturday is sometimes you mess up your rotation for the following week. And you got to keep that in mind. And it's not just pitch counts, it's how they're feeling and how well some guys bounce back other than others on short rest. It can be challenging to manage at times, but it's just over communication and making sure we're all on the same page with what needs to get done.
Well, Kenny, I'm sure you're looking forward to the game against Prairie because it'll give you guys a chance to play another highly ranked opponent. You know, what do you know about that team other than they have a really impressive record?
There's a couple guys on that team I used to have some USSSA battles with. So it's always nice to see those guys in the east side of the state and see how they've progressed. Look at Iowa City High. A lot of those highly ranked teams have a lot of guys I used to play against, and it's kind of fun to see them. Cedar Rapids Reds were a team I was playing against in state championships back in the day, so it's really fun to see those guys progress, and there's guys that I probably haven't seen in 4 or 5 years, just to see how good of baseball players they become is pretty cool.
Well, Coach, after that game, you guys will have pretty much seen all the top teams in Class 4A. Of course, the Cedar Rapids Kennedy is the defending state champion, and the Cougars are currently ranked 10th. You know, do you feel like this year's state tournament could be pretty wide open, you know, or have you seen a team in particular that you think, you know, might be built to make a deep postseason run?
Yeah, Prairie is the one that I haven't seen yet, and I'm looking forward to it. And that's the one thing I tell people. You asked about the schedule today, and I tell people I like to see high-end teams compete. I enjoy being around and watching really good baseball. And even when we were out at Sioux City East, or we were out at Council Bluffs playing Sioux City East, the umpire stopped me about the third inning as I was walking the third base box. He's like, Coach, I hope you know I'm enjoying this so much. He goes, this is one of the best baseball games I've umpired all year. We don't get games like this out here very much. I hope you know how much we appreciate you coming out and being willing to go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the area. I think Pleasant Valley is tremendously talented. Lincoln Dalton as a junior, that might be the best uncommitted junior in the state. We saw him as a sophomore. He continues to get better. And I can't remember the young man who threw game two.
Yeah, Collingwood.
Collingwood. I mean, he was 91 to 92 the whole night with a right-handed hammer. He's really good. I believe he's going to Blinn, Texas, the JUCO, which is just a baseball factory down there. And they have another guy going to Blinn, too, that he came in relief. They have some really high-end arm talent there. City High is a tremendous offensive team. Boy, can they really swing the bat? You mentioned Kennedy. Anytime Coach Hoyer, he is such a meticulous and experienced baseball coach and just a wonderful baseball person to be around in general. You can never count them out. Coach High has himself what looks like to be a state tournament caliber team there. They've been playing well. I think Waukee is... That's one of the best teams that Coach Dirks has had in a few years. They swing it well, and he's got arms and a really talented middle infield there with DeJesus and Sorensen. Those guys can really go. Johnston's always going to be in the conversation. As long as Coach Barta's the head coach there, he gets his guys to play well year in, year out, regardless of the personnel. And I think Sioux City East looks like a CIML team. They would, if they were here every night, they would be in the mix. Like we talk about the logjam at the top. Those guys, that lineup is long and they have good pitching to get through it. It will be interesting to see how they handle being tested in the postseason. I don't know if the teams out there are at their level right now, but they are out west. They are heads and tails above the rest of the competition, in my opinion.
When you mentioned the umpire stopping you as you're going to third base box, I wasn't going to ask you about this, but it did trip my memory. You recently stopped going to the third base box because you're focusing more on the pitching now, aren't you?
Well, at one point, and I haven't checked lately, we were leading the state in HBPs and walks. And if there's one thing that I feel pretty confident in my ability to do, I've had the opportunity my time in this community to sequence and work with some pretty high-end arms over my time here as an Ankeny Hawk coach. And if I can provide that stability and keep our guys in rhythm and make sure we're not giving up free passes when we don't need to and be in the catcher's ear about what needs to happen in certain situations, Brian Baker is more experienced than many baseball minds that I've ever come across, and I fully trust him to handle third base responsibilities. Coach Vinzance, one of the last original Ankeny Hawks that we have around here that graduated before the split, he has tremendous pride in that. And you know, I ask them to evaluate what we're doing day in, day out. As a coach, it's also my responsibility to say, what can I do to give my guys the best shot to be competitive night in, night out? And I enjoy coaching third base. It's also, if you are sequencing and making first and third calls and making offensive calls and managing base runners, that can be a lot just for one guy to do. And I need to delegate some responsibilities. And I have tremendous trust in my coaching staff. And they didn't hesitate at all. I go, base, I need you to go to third. He's like, okay, Trey, you're going to first. I'm going to stay on the radio here in the dugout. We're going to see if things can get better. And you can ask Kinnick on his opinion on that. I think the pitchers have done a better job of working ahead in the count. Our games have been more competitive since we've made that switch. We just haven't quite gotten over that hurdle of finishing ball games and winning in a consistent fashion. It's been an adjustment for me, but it's not been something I've disliked. Mm-hmm. I enjoy being in the dugout with them. It allows me to have conversations when I see things that maybe need to be adjusted out there. And it's probably something that I will, for the time being, I don't have any plans to go back to the third base box. And I think at the time I was one of the only guys in the league that was still coaching third anyway. So, again, I can be stubborn at times and set in my ways. But if it's what's best for the kids and our team, it's just something I was willing to do.
Sure. Well, I know Coach I stopped doing it, you know, a year or two ago as well. Well, I will ask you, Kenneth, have you seen some positive changes since you guys, you know, went to that new lineup?
Well, after the Sioux City East game, Earl Meyer obviously hasn't been playing too, so he's sitting in the dugout next to Coach, and he comes up to me after the game and he goes, "Ball Vans is just calling the pitches before they even happen and knows exactly what's going to happen." He was pretty impressed, and I know if Earl's impressed, it's something good going on. And so that was pretty cool to see.
Well, Ken, I know Coach has told me a few times this season that if you guys, you know, can get a little healthier and get the offense going a little bit, that he feels like your team could be a dangerous opponent in the postseason. You know, I'm sure you'd agree with them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, this is not your typical 6-17 team. You've got dudes that can throw it across the plate with some good velocity and mix it up. You got dudes that can shut offenses down. And you got some bats that come around. I mean, we have a lot of young guys, I think. The beginning of the year, we had a lot of new guys in the varsity lineup, seeing some of the best varsity pitching I've ever seen in my 3 years, and I think that's pretty difficult. They see that, and they wonder how I'm ever going to be able to hit at this level, and as the season goes on, they start to see the more average arms, and they can get some confidence. So I think those guys are starting to get going, and we've got pitching that's going to battle for us. So this is not a team you're probably going to – it's a 4 or 5 seed that you're – going to draw in substate and go, we would have rather had the 30 and 15 team sitting out west, not playing anyone every day. But I think we're really excited to see where this team goes.
When you mentioned the young guys in your team, and I know Coach has told me that you're one of the best leaders that, you know, he's ever had on one of his teams. Have you embraced that leadership role, trying to, you know, mentor some of the younger guys?
Yeah, you know, I enjoy being able to lead the younger guys and show them the ways. You know, we've had some really young guys come up this year, even freshmen and sophomore, and I enjoy just having conversations with them and showing them the right way to do things. And so, yeah, it's been a pleasure.
And Coach, I know the sub-state brackets for Class 1A and 2A have already come out, and you told me off-air that you think that the 4A brackets are going to come out on Friday. You know, do you have any idea what to expect as far as, you know, who you'll be placed with or what seed you might get?
That's a great question. I don't know how much the state's going to value playing in our league. If you were to look at strength of schedule on bound, we're going to be up there at the top, but it's also hard to say much with where the record is right now. I kind of agree with Kinnick. I think 4 and 5 would be fair, but if it's a 6, I don't really have any argument there either. My guess is we'll probably be local here somewhere. I have no insight there. It's just kind of a hunch. I know we got sent out west last year. Haven't been sent east. I can't remember the last time the state sent us east to a sub-state. So, and there's good baseball out east too. There's Liberties out there. Bettendorf's been having a good year. Pleasant Valley's out there. Cedar Rapids, Prairie, Kennedy, City High. But I can see the state tournament field not being as CIML dominated. It just kind of depends on how the sub-states shake out. But I just have a hunch that we're going to be here locally somewhere in sub-state. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's hard to predict. And Ken, with your team's record, obviously you guys are going to have to go on the road at some point, maybe even in that first game, unless you get that 4 seed. And you don't know who you're going to get paired with. But, you know, do you care which teams you get placed in your bracket? Is there somebody you would like to play?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I mean, I think it'd be pretty foolish of me to call out teams on here and let them get some extra fire that they don't need. But yeah, I think our team can battle with anyone, and we have pitchers that can hold any offense down. So, you know, there's probably a couple arms that I'd rather not see. But, you know, you get what you get, and you can't really throw a fit when you're 6-17. So I think we're excited to just go out there and battle with anyone, and we really do have a shot against anyone. I think that's probably not something that everyone would think, seeing the record, but the talent on this team can compete with any team across the state, so we're just excited to hopefully go show it.
Well, like you guys said, whoever you do get paired up against, you know, may not be real excited about playing, you know, your 6-17 team, so should be fun. Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot for coming in today, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Acme Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Real Estate of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. We had Ankeny baseball coach Joe Balvans and senior shortstop Kenny Voss. I appreciate the time from both of those guys. And we just found out off air, as I was getting ready to record this final segment, that their game tonight against Urbandale has been moved up to 5 o'clock. The game that Urbandale is playing at Centennial is going to start at 2, so that's a late change to the schedule, but that's something they have to deal with here with all the rain that we've had. So there will be a couple of games this afternoon, hopefully. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.